So nice to be back.
Oh, of course. Okay.
It's so nice to be back with you guys again this morning as we finish up with chapter one of Ephesians. And in the two previous weeks, we've learned all about God's grace. How? Through Jesus, death, and resurrection on the cross. Where? Our position in Him is where we receive grace. And why? Because God's plan. He made Him who knew no sin to die on the cross that we might become His righteousness. And we've been studying Paul's response to the enlightenment of that grace. And we will continue in there. We closed our time together last week with the start from Paul, the start of Paul's prayer. And his ask of the Lord for the people was for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And Paul's petitioning the Lord that he might continue to reveal himself to the people. Paul had heard of the church's love and faith and knew it was a fruit of God's Spirit. And now he's asking for more of God's supernatural work in the people. Revelation of God comes from the Spirit of God. And now we look to the close of Paul's prayer and to the close of the first chapter. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul is saying a spirit of wisdom and knowledge of Him will open up your eyes to three things, give you understanding of three different things. And if you have your Bible, please underline these. It's the hope of His calling, His inheritance in the saints, and His power toward us who believe. The hope of His calling. The hope of His calling, I think, could be being used in two different ways here. And the hope of His calling, speaking to the nature of how God is calling us into relationship with Him. Also, the joy and purpose-filled life here. And, the purpose-filled life here and life in eternity that He's calling us to. So often we trade in the joy and fulfillment and hope of His purpose and calling for us for the cares and concerns and desires of this world. And how often do we say things like, I want this or that, or even I need this or that, or for the more fortunate with us, I am going to get this or that. And I'm not saying wanting or buying things or for yourself or taking vacation from time to time is necessarily a bad thing, but are those moments outweighing the time spent seeking God's desire for my life now, seeking His plan for my life now? The world is a complex place filled with influential people and powers telling you, you should have this or you should be here in life. It defines success for us and happiness for us, then tells us to achieve both of these items by buying or looking a certain way. Conversely, or in opposition to that, Paul is praying that you would find hope in what God is calling you into. And Psalm 84 declares, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a thousand elsewhere." That's what I believe it says. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I would rather do the lowly job in your presence than have all the world has to offer," to summarize. What are the riches What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Above and beyond, or understanding of God's love towards us, his people, is this last statement to me. God loved us in our broken state, lives filled with sin, spiritually bankrupt. He died for us. He makes us whole. He restores our relationship to himself. He gives us the Holy Spirit, giving us assurance of eternity with him. And the scripture says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard." And he goes literally the extra mile. And why? To him, and why? To him, we are the riches of his inheritance. Out of all the things given to him, all the power, all the authority in this world and the next, he sees us, me and you, as the real value of the deal. That is where we should be looking for our value. I've heard it said, Jesus thinks I'm to die for. And what do you get for someone who already has everything for Christmas? And Jesus would say, give me you. Greatness of his power toward us who believe. He goes on to pray in verse 20. Next slide. Oh, pardon me. I need verse 20. Which he worked in Christ. It's actually 19 and 20, I apologize. And what is the exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Paul is praying that the people of Ephesus would understand that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is alive and working in us today. The power that was alive and well and on display to the world through Jesus, the prophets, the apostles, and disciples of old is the power that we have at our disposal. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Ready for use as we align ourselves to God's will, and he makes his power ready and available to us and through us. In this verse, we are seeing the resurrection power of God. He raised Jesus. We are seeing the resurrection power of God. He raised Jesus from the lowest of lows, the depths of the earth, to next to him in heaven. In the same way, many of us have experienced this same type of resurrection in our own life. Next slide. Many Christians do not know this power, or they only know it from a distance. God wants resurrection life to be real in the life of the believer. The very same power which raised Christ is waiting to raise the drunkard from his drunkenness, to raise the thief from his dishonesty, to raise the Pharisee from his self-righteousness, to raise the Sadducee from his unbelief. Seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. The passage not only reveals the physical power to raise the dead, but the power also over judgment. The right hand was the place of prominence, power, and authority. This is the same way God's power is working on our behalf. Jesus received this position by living a perfect, sinless life. Sacrifice, commitment, and obedience to the will of the Father. Next slide. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. This was the very heart and nature of Jesus in his life here and also in his ministry here. Also on display in the garden, when Jesus is speaking of death on the cross, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless thy will be done. This is an exemplary life as a man earned him to be at the right hand of the Father. I don't believe it was just nepotism, is my point. I don't think it was just the fact that he was the son that gave him the position. Far above all, next slide, please. This should be 20 to 23. Perfect. Let's go down one more. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right place in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. In this set of verses, Paul continues to lay out the power and authority Jesus has been given in earth and beyond, in this age and beyond. And there's also an acknowledgement that there are other powers and dominions. And there's more on that in the next chapter, and we'll address that when we get there. And what is important to see here is Jesus is far above all, or not even close, or not by a long shot. Gave him to be head over all things to the church. In relationship to Jesus and fellowship together, we are explained through Scripture as a picture of one body. That theme is alive and well in the book of Ephesians, and it's a picture of a mixed group of people being called to unity in Christ as one body. Jesus is the head of that body, and he tells the feet where to move, he tells the hands what to grab, and he tells the mouth when to speak. And this idea is shared more in detail in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to close our time together today exploring this idea of the body of Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to have a look at verses 4 through 14. That's 1 Corinthians 12. 4 through 14. In the spirit of understanding this together today, I felt like this was what really God had laid on my heart. You know, as we've built on a foundation from the beginning of me coming, we've gotten back to the basics of the pillars of our faith together, which was prayer, reading of the word, communion and fellowship with together. And then I believe even last week, God was calling us back to a place of the beginning, which is renew and rebuild that love relationship that we have with one another, with the people outside of this place. And I believe this is along those same lines in saying we all have a role to play. So in the interest of understanding this together, I use the NIV version for this portion. A little simpler text. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And slide 7. What I want you to take notice here is the three different kinds of items, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, and different kinds of working. There are really two types of activities here, speaking of spiritual gifts, and I believe mainly in view are spiritual offices, but it's definitely not limited to that. Different kinds of working, meaning the way the Spirit works in those areas can look different or can be manifest different. So different kinds of offices, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of working out of those gifts. Also notice the Trinity in view here. The Holy Spirit, or the same Holy Spirit, the same Lord Jesus, and the same Father God. Always love to find that. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, there is a list of offices also referred to as gifts in that portion, and I'll read that for you. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we look at these, we will look at those more closely when we get to chapter 4. But important to notice that these spiritual gifts are for the edifying of the body and the work of the ministry. Next, we'll look at 7 through 11, and that should be slide 8. And here we find a list of 9 spiritual gifts that are work in the body of Christ on any given time or day or in this building or across the church as a whole. And the list is a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of those tongues. And what I want to do now is just give you a brief, a general description of what that looks like. But remember, in that first verse that we looked at, is telling you that the working out of those gifts could look different from person to person. But generally speaking, a message of wisdom is the ability to speak forth the wisdom of God, especially in an important situation. The message of knowledge is the ability to declare knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally. Faith, the unique ability to trust God against all circumstances and in difficult situations. Gifts of healing, the ability to heal yourself and others. Ability to perform the miraculous miraculous powers. Ability to perform the miraculous when God goes against the laws of nature. Prophecy is the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. Hopefully that's what's going on here today. The distinguishing between spirits, the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. Speaking in different kinds of tongues, just generally different language, speaking a different language. And the interpretation of tongues, which is to understand that different language. And I heard a story one time, I thought I would share it today. A friend of mine was on a bus, and they were on a mission trip, and they felt like, I got to get up and just, they felt prompted by God to just get up and start speaking, or to give the gospel. And when he stood up, he was speaking in a different language that he didn't know, and he was astonished. And the people that were with him didn't know the language either. So they thought it was a very interesting position to be in on this mission trip. And lo and behold, there was a man sitting on the back of the bus who understood exactly what he was saying. He was speaking his language, which I believe was French, but I don't remember exactly the story. So some working out of the supernatural in that way. And there's plenty more to get into here, but as time would not allow to get into all of that, but potentially in the future. Just know that if it's a work of the Spirit, it will be for one or two reasons. The work of the ministry, or the edifying or building up, or common good of the body. 12 through 14 shares the idea of what is the body of Christ. We are different. We have different jobs, different gifts. The way those gifts look are different. Some are strict, some are lax, some are old, and some are older than them. But we are all called into unity and to make up a whole. It goes on to have an individual response in 15 through 20, and I believe I have that slide. It says individual response. And it says, now if the one foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for the reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for the reason stop. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then go ahead and, so this is speaking to the nature of how I potentially might respond to my responsibility within the body, right? I want to be this. I want to be the evangelist. I want to be the missionary. I want to be the person who does the slides every day, right? But the individual response is really to be the part, be who God has called us to be in our part of the body. Go ahead and give me the community response. And so this is how understanding the nature of some of that, right? Some others might want to be other positions or places. Some jobs are lowlier, right? Somebody's got to clean and vacuum the floors, and some might look upon that as a lowly position, right? Someone's got to dust and get Kleenex from the store and run general things, while some people in the body of Christ get to be great musicians and things like that. So it might be easy to look upon those. But our response as a community to each other should look something like this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. The hand cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And I think this is so different than the way we typically look at it, You know, and for a long time it was the same for me. For a long time I wanted to be a missionary, and I thought, man, that's the high calling of God, going out there into the world, going out into the adventure and seeing those miracles happen and being part of those miracles from time to time. But that's not what God had called me to. And so for me, I definitely see the individual response in my own life where I said, man, if I could be this or if I could be that or if I could be something that I'm not, right? And even now I see, I've seen groups, especially in California, generally the musicians are put up on a pedestal, right? And they get this place of like, hey, they're cool, especially in today's culture. But really what God is saying is that the people that already have those special honors need no more special honor. But the people that are taking their time to clean, those are the people that we should push forward and honor them. And because when we honor them, we boast together, really, that in the hard work that we all do as one. So it should be clear, and I'll close with this, as individuals, we should feel blessed and fill the role God has given us and know others need us. As a group, we should bless and honor those around us because we need them. And God is here and supplying the Spirit for our every need to succeed. Lord, we thank you for this time that we could spend together, God, learning about you and of your word and the power of your Spirit that's working within us. God, we seek to be unified as one body, even in a world that can be so divisive. Lord, help us to be loving and honorable to those in those positions of the jobs that we wouldn't want to do, God. Help us to see things and to see people the way that you do, Lord. Lord, we admit that sometimes we've fallen short in these areas. We've desired to be something, part of the body that we've not. We've dishonored those in the lowlier positions. But God, from today forth, we say that it wouldn't be so, Lord, that you would work in our lives to be the body that you would desire us to be. Lord, we know that it's through your Spirit that these gifts are given. So Lord, we pray for every spiritual gift to be evident. Lord, we know that you are a good Father who gives good gifts, and so we just desire more of you. We desire to see you move in our midst. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray.